All right. Children's Church, kindergarten through sixth grade, you can make your way out. Kindergarten through sixth grade, I'm so glad that you're all here today. Veterans Day is an important day for us as we remember those who serve so that we can be here. And I wanted the history teacher. And it doesn't it just hit different when a history teacher presents it? Yes, give us the background. And so I'm thankful for Brian and Brandon. We're going to continue in our parable sermon series, and today we're going to be in Luke chapter 14. Last week we were in Luke chapter 13, just one chapter over. Today we're going to talk about a banquet. Next Sunday, we're going to have a banquet here. Next Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we're having a Thanksgiving banquet. It's a feast. If you've never been, it's incredible. There's food everywhere. You're probably going to sin because you're going to be a glutton. But it's good. I'm telling you, I've already got the things in mind that I want, the desserts that I want. I'm not going to tell you which desserts this year because last year I recommended one, and by the time I got to it, it was gone. So you're on your own. But plan on being here for that. But there's just something about a feast. There's something about having lots of food. Thanksgiving is that time. We just have lots of food. Something about getting together and just celebrating life, celebrating what God has done. Well, in Luke 14, this story is about a man who has this great banquet. He's going to have a feast, and he invites all these people to the feast. And we're going to learn that some wouldn't come, and so he wanted a full house. You can't have a party if nobody shows up. You can't have a feast if nobody's there. And so here in Luke 14, this man who wants to have this great banquet, the ones he invited didn't come. And so he says, hey, go out and get these people. Go get the broken and the poor. And then finally, there still wasn't enough. He says, I want my house full. Go into the countryside. Go get as many people as you can. Go as far as you can and bring them to the banquet. Luke chapter 14, here's what it tells us. One of the people at the table with Jesus heard him say those things. He said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat the feast in God's kingdom. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet. He invited many guests. Then the day of the banquet arrived. He sent his servant to those who had been invited. The servant told them, come, everything is ready now. But they all had the same idea. They began making excuses. The first one said, I have just bought a field. I have to go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 pairs of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. His wife wouldn't give him permission. In verse 21, the servant came back and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry. He ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets, in the lanes of the town. Bring in those who are poor, bring those who can't see or walk. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads. Go out to the country lanes. Make the people come in. I want my house to be full. I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Here's this parable about a banquet again. Just this feast, and we have really 3 separate groups of people. At this banquet is going to represent the feast. Some people call it the wedding feast or the feast of the Lamb, and that we see in Revelation, this great feast that will take place towards the, really, at the end of days. And so it's this great feast. And two, it's a time of, I don't know what's going to be at the feast. Maybe fried chicken. If it is, it's going to be the best fried chicken ever. It won't even clog your arteries. Isn't that good? It won't even matter. You won't even have to spit it out if it tastes good because it's all going to taste good. How do I know it tastes good? Because one time my master, he was at this party and they ran out of wine, so he made some, and they said it's the best they ever had. So I know he can cook, right? We know he can make things. And so this feast is going to be really good. It's going to be this banquet. But here are the people that he invited. He said, go to the people that have been invited. Now, in this story, these people start making excuses. But let's look and see who these people are first. What is this group, the ones that were invited? Who do they represent? It represents the religious Jews of the time. The Pharisees, really, if you want to think about it, the Pharisees, Sadducees, these religious leaders within the Jewish culture. And so these are the ones that have been invited. How were they invited? They were invited through all the scriptures that we have in the Old Testament, through the prophets, through the Psalms, through all the things that we have in the Old Testament. This was their invitation. There's one that's coming, right? Prepare the way. There's one that's coming. And so here's the invitation. Christmas is coming soon. Hey, I'm excited about one Sunday morning, by the way, that song that we just sang, this Ebenezer. Y'all don't know what an Ebenezer is. Some of y'all are like Ebenezer Scrooge. But an Ebenezer is something that reminds you. And so one of the Sundays, I'm just chasing a rabbit for a minute, okay? Y'all stay with me. And so one of the Sundays, we're going to have trees. I want you to go ahead and start to think about what God's done in your life this year and buy an ornament for what God has done. And one of the Sundays, we're going to decorate the trees and put our Ebenezers on the tree to remember what God's done. Yeah? So be thinking about that as you're looking around. You can take it home with you at the end of Christmas, but God's done so much, we're going to remember and we're going to honor him for what he's done. And so anyway, so we'll get back. So God has done all these things for these Jewish people the same way that God has done so much for us. He's revealed himself to these Jewish religious leaders the same way God has revealed himself to us. They just took it for granted. They took this invitation for granted. Like, if we're not careful, if we don't take steps to, like, that Sunday where we have this Ebenezer, if we don't take these steps to remember what God has done, it's really easy for us just to take for granted what God's done for us. And so here, what did these religious leaders do? They started making excuses. It's not, look, here they're not saying, I'm evil, I'm not coming to your party, I don't like you or anything. They just start making excuses, things that we would see that just make you busy. Religious leaders that got an invitation, but they started to get busy with the things of life. And so when God said, come to my banquet, or here's my servant Jesus, because the only way you get into the banquet is to follow Jesus, here's the thing, they go, I've got too much going on. And they did. They had all their traditions and their rituals and the things that they would do to show off for other people and for each other. They had to dress a particular way. They had to, on the Sabbath day, they could only travel so far. They couldn't make a fire. They couldn't cook. They had all these rules that really they were trying so hard to please God, but they got so busy that they missed the party. They missed the party. And not did they didn't just miss the party. Like, they were invited, and the servant was sent to them to remind them of the party. Now, if y'all have a party, I need you to do this for me. Because I get busy all the time, and about the time that your party starts, I remember, oh yeah, there was a party. Anybody else do that? But if you were to send somebody an hour ahead of time, that would have been a great help to me. Okay, so here's the servant here. They sent the servant, said, hey, the party's ready. Come on. And they said, no, I'm too busy. Some of them were busy trying to increase their profit. Some of them were busy trying to make a living. Some of them were busy just, we talked about this last week, were busy with life, with family. With family. I was reading a passage this week. It's hard because when I read it, it was like, what? When I first read it years ago, it says, anyone who wants to follow me must hate their mother and father. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? Yeah, I know. It shocked me too. But what it's saying is that you have to love Christ so much that the love that you have for your mother and father, it can't compare. That you must love Christ above all. Amen. And that sometimes as you follow Christ, it may look like hate, but it's really love. This, let me give you an example. You remember that time Jesus was busy and he had all these people around him and his mother come to see him? And they said, "Your mom's here." And he said, "Who's my mother?" Yeah, you're like, if you were anybody but Jesus, you're in trouble. But Jesus said it. He's making a point that we have to serve one another, and we have to serve God the Father. We have to serve God the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that the love that we have for him surpasses the love that we have for anybody else. And so this one here, this guy who said, "I just got married. Look at me." Some of y'all, you have your husband or your wife. They're your God. They're your primary source of fulfillment. Let me get that out of there. They're your primary source of fulfillment. They're your idol. And humans, any person, makes a terrible God because we fail every time. If your spouse is your God, your marriage is on the way to destruction because they're going to let you down. So these were the people that were invited. They're a lot like us in the culture that we live in. Religious people who have the invitation, who have heard the word of God, who have been invited to the banquet. Yet we get too busy with the things of life. Not that we're terrible. We know a lot of good people just that do not follow Christ. Now when I say good people, in our sense, okay, they're just a good old boy. You ever heard that? Not that they're saved, because Jesus said no one's good but him. But you get what I'm saying, our culture. We say, oh, they're a good person, but they don't go to church. They're not a follower of Christ. That's these people. They're just busy. And then Jesus here, or God the Father here, the one that's throwing the banquet, says, well, if they won't come, go to the sick and to the poor next. And we see this. This is what Jesus did in his ministry. And when as the religious leaders rejected him, he started to take the message of the gospel of grace to those who were sick, those who were in need, those who were broken. He started to take, and so for us, listen, what do we do with this? Sometimes we are so concerned with the people of prestige, and we're trying to buddy up with those people, and here's the truth behind it. We try to buddy up with those people with prestige because not that we're concerned about their salvation. We just want to be friends with them so that we can get some favor from them because they have means. But here Jesus is like, those are the ones that are so busy with life. They've rejected me. Now go after those people who were poor, who were broken, that can't offer anything. They can't give you anything. Jesus told them one time, hey, don't try to get the best seat. If you go to a feast, if you go to the festival, don't try to get to the best seat because maybe the person that's putting the feast on is like, you know what, really not that good of friends. I need you to move because I got a good friend coming. Remember that story? Yeah? He says, and if that happens, you're disgraced because all the other chairs, it's not like you moved down one. All the chairs will be full, so you got to go to the least seat. But what he said is, you go to the least and sit down, and then if the master of the banquet wants you to come sit with him, then they come to the least and say, hey, why don't you come sit with me, and then you will be honored. Here's the thing, too often we try to get seats next to people that have influence, people that can catapult us, maybe in our career, financially, or within the church. And we don't want to sit by the lesser than. We don't want to be like Jesus where he says, go get the poor and the broken. And I'm going to tell you, churches all over, we're really bad. We're really guilty of this. Because we're saying, hey, if you fill the church up with people that are broken, people that are poor, how can you pay the bills? I don't know. My master says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm trusting him to pay the bills. We were looking at the budget, by the way, the other day, and I just want to share this. This is, you know, the whole budget of Connect Church is like $260,000 a year. I know that's a lot for some people, but for a lot of people, that's approaching a lot of people yearly income. We run a church on like a family income. How about that? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I mean, especially if you put two families together. You take two families' income, we're running a whole church. God's doing it, not us. And so why not reach out to the poor and the broken and bring them in and love on them the same way that Christ would love on them? Who are these people in the story? These are the people that are part of the Jewish nation, and they are. They're the poor, they're broken. Not to the religious leaders, but the ones that the religious leaders have pushed out, the ones that the religious leaders have rejected. Again, the ones, us, as religious leaders in this South, that this Southern culture, the South, we are in the same categories of Pharisees because we have the information, we know it, but a lot of times we're too busy with life. And God says, look, go to the ones that have been rejected by those and bring them in. Amen. Then he says, okay. He goes, I still have room. This is good. I still have room. He said, all these people I invited, the ones that you brought in that were poor and broken, and you know the people that were poor and broken probably came to a feast because if you're hungry, you're coming to eat. Yeah? So what could we say this? The religious leaders that were full of the world wouldn't come to the feast because they were already full of something else? They were full of it. But then the poor and the needy that were hungry, they're the ones that surrounded Jesus and would line up and tear off roofs and do all the things that they would do because they're hungry. And Jesus would say it this way later. He would say it this way. He would say that it's not the well who need a doctor, it's the sick. Amen. But now, get down to the last group here. He says, go out. I still have room. I still need more people. And he says, go out to the roads. Go out to the country lanes and make the people come in. Other translation says, compel them to come in. So who are these people? These are the people that are living outside the city. Who would that be in the story if you're looking at a parable? That's us. That's the Gentiles. That's the non-Jewish folk. That's us. The ones that are excluded. He said, those that have been previously excluded from the promise, go and get them, and really pointing that Jesus Christ would be the new covenant that would not only allow the Jewish nation salvation, but would allow anyone in the country lanes to come in and become a follower and be allowed to come into the banquet. Anybody that could come. He says, go out to the country lanes. For us, okay, if we're looking at this, we're taking things, we're looking at it from a Jewish viewpoint, okay? The religious leaders, obviously, he's talking about, but we have a lot in common with those Pharisees, don't we? The poor and the broken, we have those people that have been rejected by the religious leaders. And then the country lanes, the people that are far away, people who have not heard, because this is really the people that hear, they haven't heard about who Jesus Christ is. They haven't had the opportunity to make him boss, Lord, the Gentiles. That's the reason the church had to be scattered. You remember that the church, Jesus said, go scatter, but the church wouldn't scatter. So he brought in persecution, so it would run the church in different directions, so his gospel would go out to the world. Isn't it funny how God will make us do what we're supposed to? Yeah, it's easier just to do it. All right, so he just scattered. He scattered so that those are the ones that are in the country lanes. That's me and you. Aren't you glad that our Savior made accommodations for us? We didn't have the prophets. We didn't have the Old Testament, our family line. We weren't from Abraham. We didn't have the promise of Abraham on our life. We didn't have the promise of the promised land. We didn't have any of those things. We didn't have the sign of circumcision, none of those things. But then he says, go to the country lanes. Is that the bowling alley name, by the way? Country lanes? Yeah, I just thought about that. That's not what he's talking about going, by the way. Y'all remember now, won't you? Go out to the hedgeways and the byways, is what other translations say. Go out, away from, scatter. Really, he's saying compel. So here's now our job. Either you're one of these people, like you have been invited, but yet you're too busy to accept the invitation to come to the banquet. You're too busy to make Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior. Or you're broken and you're hungry and you come to Christ because you realize you were sick and you needed a healer. Or, now for us, now we get it, we're Gentiles, but if we take a truth from this, he's saying go out to the people who have never heard. Here's our job. Our job is now for us to go out into the country lanes. We are now the servants. It's our job to take the gospel to the people who have never heard, or people who have heard and have never responded, even those who have had the invitation but have not responded, to show them that the banquet is where they will be fed, not in their property or their ox or even in this marriage, but the banquet. Jesus Christ is where they'll finally find the fulfillment that they've always looked for. It's our job, it's our place now to go into the hedgeways, the byways, the country lanes, to compel them to come in to the house. Why? Because he, the master of the house, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the master of the house, wants a full house. That's what he said. He says, I still have room. Bring them in. I still have room. Fill my house. Fill my house. And if you go through Scripture, you see this over and over again, how God always has room for those people who will repent and follow him. Even in the ark, Noah's ark. It's really God's ark, but we call it Noah's ark. You get it, okay? So you got Noah's ark. And so even in Noah's ark, there was room. And Noah preached for 100 years. There was room. Some people are like, there was room in there? There's a lot of animals. I know. There was still room. We'll do a sermon on it one day. There was lots of rooms. You only needed one breed. Let me give you an example. You only needed one breed of dog. Like, you need two wolves, then you get all the different dogs that we have, okay? But all you need is two wolves. You don't need a chihuahua and a bulldog and a whatever else. You two wolves, and then you get all the other breeds. That's not evolution, by the way. That's just breeding, okay? All right. So now all of a sudden the ark's real big, yes? And two, by the way, there's probably a few dinosaurs on there. You're like, dinosaurs? I know, they found dinosaur footprints with people footprints on the top of them. They lived together. You're like, brontosaurus on the ark. I know, it didn't have to be full size, though. Yeah? I mean, only a dummy like, yeah, give me the biggest one. Yeah, I want the biggest one. That's the one I want. Anyway, you don't have to do all those things. And so you know, after you think through all this stuff, and you think of it, there's still lots of room. Lots of room. And you're like, why? Okay, I'm going to take it because I know what you're thinking. Some of y'all are off in another world. You're thinking about dinosaurs. Why aren't they still here if they were on the ark? Here's why. Because people, we kill big things. The bigger they are, the more we want to kill them. Think about it. Yes? Has anybody? Very few people kill a squirrel. Now, there's some of you get them mounted funny, but you never kill a little squirrel and be like, I'm going to mount this thing. You know, you don't go in somebody's house with little squirrel heads all over the wall, do you? That doesn't happen. I mean, there are some squirrels, if it's a really big, like the red squirrel's really big, but if it's just regular, anyway, so, but we're not doing that. We want to kill big things, right? Elephants, that's why they're endangered. Lions, that's why they're endangered. Any large animal, that's why they're endangered. Bear in Mississippi, that's the reason you can't shoot them now. Used to be a huge population. We kill big things. The bigger they are, the more we want to kill them, so we killed all the big things. There you go, you're welcome. All right. So now back to this. So there was room on the ark. He preached 100 years, but no one would take the invitation. The door was shut. There was room in the ark. Israel, he was nation building, but at the same time, there was room for people that were outside the promise to come in if they were to repent and commit themselves to Christ. Well, you have two famous ones. That would be Rahab, and that would be Ruth. Both of those came into. There was room in the nation of Israel for anybody who would repent and follow Christ or follow God at that time, which was Christ, but they didn't have a full understanding of the Trinity. He wants a full house. Amen. And his house is so big, it can accommodate everybody. Not 144,000 only, but everybody. So I want you to think about your neighbor. There's room for your neighbor. I know you don't like your neighbor because you're fighting over the landline. But here's the thing. God loves him. There's room for your aunt. Only thing that came to mind, Brent, was vacation where the aunt stands up instead of saying grace. Pledges allegiance. Even room for her, right? There's room for the crazy aunt. There's room for the guy at work that you can't stand. There's room for the poorest person that you know. There's room for the worst person that you know. He said, go out and compel them to come in. You're like, but I can't get people to come. Maybe you're going to the first people that are the righteous, really the self-righteous, too busy with life. And of course they won't come because they got oxen to take care of, and they got property to take care of, and they got this marriage to take care of. Maybe it's time that we go to the poor and the broken and invite them in, and all of a sudden you'll see the banquet hall starting to fill up. Amen. He wants a full house. In fact, he says, make them come in, compel them. There's even, if you look at the translation, it's this idea of drag them in if you have to. Now, wouldn't that be a good Sunday morning? People calling the police because I'm kidnapped, I'm at church. I don't even know if you get arrested if you kidnapped them and brought them to church. Make a great story. Don't do it. Don't do it. But there's this idea of dragging them. Amen. And so who is it that you know needs to be, we're going to use something, drug here, not drug. Don't drug them, but you know what I'm saying. You got to drag them here. Who needs to be brought kicking and screaming? Because at one time, I was brought kicking and screaming. Anybody else with me? Yeah? Yeah. And some of you may have been brought kicking and screaming here. Like, that's the last place I'm going. I get it. The preaching's not that good. But I get it. And so, but who is it that you know needs to be brought in kicking and screaming? Here's what I want us to do. As we think about this banquet. Because at this banquet, there's going to be people, and you know there's going to be people that are missing. It's people sitting around the table, and you go, where's so-and-so? Because next week, when we eat, some of you are going to choose not to come because you don't like people, and we'll pray for you. And we're going to go, where's so-and-so at? Well, I don't know. And we're going to be talking about all the people that are missing. So if you're not here, we're going to talk about you. Why aren't they here? At the banquet, at the wedding banquet, at the feast, at the master's banquet, there are going to be people missing. And there are going to be people that you thought would be there. The same way next week, there's going to be people next week because people are traveling, people are busy, people get sick or whatever. You're going to think, the reason you're going to say, where's so-and-so? Because you're going to have in your mind, I figured they would be here, but they're not. I was expecting them to be here. They're always here, but they're not. So you talk about it. On that day, there's going to be people that you look for that won't be there. They've had every opportunity. They've had the invitation given to them. They've had servants, which is us, to come and to remind them. And yet they're still too busy. Now, here would be the shame, though. Here's the shame. Let's change it up just a little bit, okay? I already told you that I've got to have reminders. Anybody set an alarm on your phone? Foreign alarm? Yeah? Okay, I'm not the only one. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, you got one too? Okay. Don't ever tell me to remind you to do something, because I'm not. Because I'm going to forget until it's too late. But let's say next week I get busy. Now, I might have lots of reminders, okay? My wife's going to remind me. She keeps me on task. She reminds me of things. But let's just say, for whatever reason, nobody reminds me, and I'm just getting busy. And I miss the whole Thanksgiving dinner because nobody reminded me. I'm convinced that there are people so consumed with what they're doing in life. According to this passage, they're so consumed with land and oxen and, let's change it up, cars and jobs and relationships. I'm convinced that there's people that just forget. And there are people that are poor and broken that don't think they're allowed to come. And on that day, I think we're going to look around and there's going to be people missing for this reason. We forgot to remind them. We forgot to invite them. We forgot to tell them about who Jesus is and that He is the door and that He is the way. Again, there's going to be those who reject. I get it. The servants went and reminded these guys, and they still forgot or rejected and said, please excuse me. But then there were others that were invited who came, because Jesus here in this parable said the house was still not full. So there were some, but He said, I need it full. How good a job are we doing at reminding people about the invitation to the Lamb's Supper? Of inviting them. Again, I'm going to take a step. Okay? I understand that you're like, I'm not there. I don't. Because Satan fools you, okay? And he's going to lie to you, and he's going to deceive you, and he's going to tell you this. You don't know enough to share the gospel with anybody. That's what he's going to tell you. That's why everybody you ever ask will usually say, I should say everybody, most people you ask will usually say, I don't know enough to share the gospel. Because you're deceived, because Satan wants you on the sideline, okay? But if you can't do that, and you're not there yet, we talked about this a few weeks, you're not there yet. I get it. It's okay. I wasn't there yet one time either. Here's something that's a lot easier to do. Hey, will you come to church with me? Did you notice what the servant said? Come to the banquet. Come to the banquet. Can you just come to church with me? And here's the cool part. A lot of your stories here, a lot of the people that are here, you're here because somebody invited you. Like, you just didn't wake up one morning and go, I don't know where I'm going. Jesus, take the wheel. You know, somebody said, hey, won't you come with me? Or why don't you try it out? That's the challenge. That's the challenge for this week. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. I want you to think of one person, just one person, or one family that you're willing to say, will you come to church with me next week? Just one family. Just say, you can sit with me. For some of y'all, that's going to be bad. You need to tell them, you don't have to sit with me. Just say, come sit with me. Come see what it's all about. Because if we're talking about the banquet, and I'm done, Jesus promises this, that if we taste, that we will see that He's good. We'll see that He's good. And then at that point, in the same way this story, you will have an opportunity to accept that invitation or reject that invitation. To accept it or to reject it. But you'll know this one thing. If you taste, you will know He's good. Church, please stand. Lord Father, I come to You today and I just pray that You would work in our lives as a church. Lord, you have a feast table that's being prepared for anyone who will put their faith in You. Lord, You've invited them with Your Word through Your Holy Spirit. But You've also called us to go and preach the gospel to the world. To go and share the gospel, the truth of Your mercy and Your grace to those who are outside the promise, outside the covenant, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would give us courage, bravery. Let us act bravely. Let us invite someone that we know that is far from You. If they're broken, if they're poor, if they're undesirable, if they're arrogant, if the world's given up on them, we invite them. If they're hard to love, Lord Father, I'm so thankful that there are people in my life that are hard to love because it reminds me of how You love me in spite of who I am. Lord, Father, I pray that You protect us from the enemy, from how he wants to destroy us, how he wants to wreck us, how he doesn't want us to exist. But Lord, Father, I'm thankful that here in this place You've sent warriors that hold Your banner and Your sword that are covered in Your armor, ready to go to war spiritually and fight for the lives of those people that are in desperate need. Lord Father, make us brave. That's my heart today. Make us brave. Let us cling to Your love and Your calling and make us brave. Church, we're going to open up the altar. I'm going to ask that You would come and that You would pray, because when God starts to move, it starts when we pray. And church, this is what I'm going to ask, especially you men. Men, in the Scripture, it says a lot of times, it says, act like a man. I'm going to ask some men that would come and bow at the altar and beg for God to make us a church that is brave and courageous as we share the gospel with the people around us. That we wouldn't shrink back, that we wouldn't get content, that we would fight for the souls of the people of this county. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit would have you do, you move. You follow His leadership.